Langstrat stalked like a lion towards Brummel as many of the psychics came out of their trances to see what in the world had happened.
I will vanquish you for this treachery.
Oliver Young demanded,
What is this? Have you both gone mad?
Brummel, goaded on by the crazed and brazen Lucius, pointed a shaking finger at Langstrat.
You're not going to control me any longer. Your plan will not succeed. I won't let it.
You are doomed, Rafar!
Lucius screamed, dodging the lethal thrusts of Rafar's sword.
Do you hear the battle outside? The host of heaven are everywhere!
Treachery! You will pay for your treachery!
Sandy looked into those evil yellow eyes and pleaded,
Madeline, why have you changed?
Madeline cackled and answered,
Do not believe what you see. What is evil? It is but an illusion.
But you lied to me. You deceived me.
Sandy's arms suddenly dropped with a ponderous weight. Chains. Glistening, heavy chains hung around her wrists and arms. Cold, bruising links wrapped around her legs, her body, her neck. She could no longer struggle against them. She tried to scream, but her breath was gone. Brummel started speaking for himself. The state attorney general, Justin Parker. The feds, they know everything.
What?
Some of the psychics cried, jumping out of their seats. They started to ask questions to panic. Young tried to keep order, but it was useless. Rafar dropped his hold on Langstrat so he could better handle this traitorous upstart Lucius. Langstrat snapped out of her trance to find the room in chaos.
Get back in your seats, everyone. Rafar, please return. Bring order.
But Rafar was busy. Lucius was smaller but quick and determined. The two swords flashed about the room like fireworks, burning and clanging. The whole room was filled with Rafar's swirling wings and chugging breath, and his sword traced fiery red sheets through the air.
Traitor! I'll cut you to pieces.
Langstrat moved towards Brummel with wild eyes.
Traitor, I'll tear you apart.
No, Brummel muttered with widened eyes, his hand going to his side.
Not this time.
No more.
The demons in the room were dividing into camps.
Prince Lucius speaks the truth. Rafar has led us to our tomb. No, it's Lucius who is the enemy's fool.
You are the fools, but we will save ourselves.
More swords flashed into view. Rafar knew he was losing control.
Fools! This is a trick of the enemy. He is trying to divide us!
It only took that one brief moment when Rafar's eyes were on his quarreling demons and not on Lucius' sword. It only took that one moment of terror to push Brummel over the edge. He aimed his police revolver at the wild-eyed Langstrat. Lucius' blade sang through the air and slipped just under Rafar's parrying sword. The tip sliced through Rafar's hide and opened his flank with a gushing wound. Langstrat made just one wrong move, and the bullet thudded into her chest. In the conference room, they all heard the shot. Marshall was out in the hall in an instant. Bernice leaped from her spot on the front steps. Vehicles were arriving. It was Alden Strawn and Norm Madley, Justin Parker, Al Lemley, three FBI agents. And there was Harvey Cole with a stack of ledgers under his arm. Tal had seen enough. He shouted to Gilo, "Go in!" and then soared out of the building to signal for more troops. Smoke and red tar were pouring from Rafar's side, but his rage spelled certain doom for the rebellious Lucius. The light of 1,000 angels beamed in through the windows. They would be in the room in an instant, but that was all the time Rafar needed. He whipped his plank-sized sword in vicious circles over his head. He brought it down in blow after blow upon Lucius, as the defiant demon's little sword parried every blow with a loud clang and a shower of sparks. The roar of angels' wings outside grew louder, louder. The floors and walls rumbled with the sound. Rafar let out a roar and brought the blade straight down. Lucius blocked the blow, but collapsed under his power. The blade came down again, passed through Lucius' head, shoulders, torso. The air filled with boiling red smoke. Lucius was gone. Rafar shouted to Madeline,
"Kill the girl!"
Madeline drew out a horrible, crooked knife. She placed it gently in Sandy's hand.
"These chains are the chains of life. They are a prison of evil, of the lying mind, of illusion. Free your higher self. Join me."
Sean had a knife ready. He placed it in the entranced Sandy's hand. Rafar staggered through a wall just as the light of a million suns exploded into the room with a deafening thunder of wings and the war cries of the heavenly host. The demons tried to flee, but were instantly disintegrated by slashing swords. The whole room was one bombastic, brilliant blur, the roar of the wings drowning out every sound but the screams of falling spirits. Kasif leaped from his chair and fell across the table. The regents and lawyers shied away and pressed against the wall. Some headed for the door. Hank, Susan, and Kevin watched from a safe distance. They knew what was happening. The strongman's demons were gone, swept away by an overwhelming flash flood of angels. And now he was face to face with the general. The strongman tried to fight back, screaming, slashing, swinging. But the general just kept coming at him. Sandy still held that knife, but now Gilo burst into the scene. "No more!" He brought his sword down in a wide ribbon of light, cutting through the chains with a series of small explosions. The chains burst outward and away from Sandy, writhing like severed snakes. Gilo's fist clamped around the fleeing Madeline's grisly neck. He jerked her backward, spun her around, and hacked her into vanishing particles. Sandy awoke with a start, fully conscious. A knife fell from her hands. The room was in chaos. People were screaming, fighting, arguing. Several men were wrestling Alf Brummel to the floor. Professor Langstrat was lying on the floor with people huddled over her. There was blood. Sean grabbed her arm. He was trying to comfort her, trying to keep her in the chair. The monster. The deceiver. The liar. "Let me go!" He wouldn't let go, so she hit him in the face, leaped to her feet, and ran for the door. He went after her. She burst into the hall. "Sandy!" came a voice. Her father. She ran toward him. Sean was right behind her. He had to contain this woman before all control was lost. "What?" Before him, filling the entire hallway with fiery wings, a terrifying figure appeared, holding a flaming sword right at Sean's heart. Sean braked to a stop, his shoes skidding on the floor. Marshall's fist slammed into Sean's jaw, and after that, he didn't see anything. "Come on, Sandy," Marshall said. "We'll take the stairs." Rafar, somewhere inside that shaking, besieged building, knew he had to get out. He sank to one knee, his hand holding his oozing side, and let his rage grow inside him.
"Tal, this was Tal's doing. No, clever captain. You haven't won. Not yet."
Rafar gripped his sword tightly. His wings surged with new power, and he began to rise through the building faster, faster, until he soared through the roof and into the open sky and found himself face to face with the very captain he had taunted and challenged. All around them, the battle raged. Demons and Rafar's victory fell like smoking, burning rain from the sky. But for one short moment of awe and mutual horror, Tal and Rafar remained frozen. Then Rafar shot sideways. Tal braced himself for a blow, but Rafar was fleeing, dashing across the sky like a bleeding bird, trailing a stream of ooze and vapor. Tal went after him, wings rushing, dashing this way and that through falling demons and charging angels. The demon warlord dove sharply toward the town. He'd be hard to find in that maze of buildings, streets, and alleys. Tal quickened his speed and closed the distance. Rafar was soaring, dashing, looping, zigzagging through falling demons, doubling back, ducking down side streets. But Tal stayed right on his tail and retraced his every turn perfectly.